The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States Heavyweight
Champion. Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 169 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. I'm joined by my SmackDown Match correspondent, Ms. Dee Jonah.
Hey, friends.
What's going on, friend?
I mean, you know, just living life one day cold tablet at a time.
Oh, no. So you have illness as you return from your...
I got the illnesses. I'll tell you off camera, but just know that the drama started literally the morning that I left, and it did not end until it still hasn't ended because I'm still sick. But yeah, it's been a time, but it's okay because I had fried alligator, I had shrimp and grits, let me tell you what I had. I had crawfish that they made into some kind of dish and topped over the best cornbread I've ever had in my life, and that was like an appetizer.
Was it crawfish etouffee?
No, I don't even know it was just like crawfish covered. What's it called? Cornbread. Like, it was just good. Like, I don't know how you skinny and live in New Orleans.
You're not. That's the whole point.
It's not possible. I don't think it's possible. And I saw thin people, and I'm just like, how?
Those are
tourists. Had to be, because listen, that food is...
And we're joined tonight, returning for the first time this year, 2018, none other than Mr. DJ Wally Sparks. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's happening?
Nothing much, man. Let the people know where they can follow you on Twitter. Let the people know where they can hear you spin some tracks, man.
You can find me on the Twitter at DJ Wally Sparks. That's at DJ WALLYSPARKS. If you are in the Atlanta area, I have two monthly parties that I do, both at the same venue, basement in East Atlanta Village. One is an R&B all-night soiree called The Groove. You can find more information about that at thegrooveatl.com. And the other one is called Flavor. It's throwback hip-hop and R&B, you know, real party music, not the music that they party to right now, like actual real party music that you actually really party to. So we do that on the first Friday of the month, also at the basement. You can find more about that at You Got Flavor. And we here to talk about these graps. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Just to let everybody know that you can follow the WrestleCast at the WrestleCast on Twitter. You can find us at www.cspn.us. You can also find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. So we'll get into the news for this week, and we'll start off with bad news. Enzo Amore. His, you know, bad luck of finding himself on the wrong side of good news continues. But this time, his world came crashing down as he went from being suspended indefinitely to being fired in the span of 24 hours, as it came out on Monday that he was being accused and investigated for sexual assault, as a young lady out in Arizona claimed that Enzo raped her. Apparently, you know, she was under the influence of lots of drugs and things like that. But, you know, the interaction wasn't consensual in her mind. So, you know, and this has been going on since October of last year. And on Monday, he was suspended indefinitely. But then on Tuesday, he was fired and released due to not informing the company of this investigation. So, Didi Jone, we'll start with you. Enzo Amore, doing the one thing you can't do, because they do have this big old clause in there that says if you, you know, do something unbecoming of the, you know, promotion and the promoter and blah, 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 they can terminate suspension and all that. So,
right. Now, listen, I'm not here to judge the girl, but what she did is whatever she did. So whatever she says happens, I have to believe that that's what happened. What I don't understand about him is you got to learn to cover your ass. And in the day of Me Too and in the times of social media in and of itself, there was no way that if you knew that this girl said, oh, I didn't like this, I feel like this is what this is, and she told you that, or you heard that through the grapevine, the first person you should have did was told your people, because it was going to get out on the internet. And once it's on the internet, you can't control the narrative. So that was a horrible choice on his part to not tell the people the minute he thought things were turning left. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Wally, your thoughts on Enzo and, you know, the things that's led up to his release this week?
I knew it was serious when he got fired and they didn't even give him the Future Endeavor courtesy. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's like, he's fired. That's it. You know what I mean? And I feel bad for the woman that was involved, man. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure she, you know, felt that she couldn't say anything just because of his high profile and, you know, the power of, you know, he works for a $1 billion company. You know what I mean? And it's just unfortunate all around, man. But, you know, it's hard for me to even talk about things like this because, you know, it's a real delicate situation. And I just feel bad for her, but at least it's out there now. I mean, you know, if he did do it, or if he did not, you know, I mean, I'm sure, I know it's just allegations at the moment, but either way, I'm like Didi, man. He kind of played himself. He should have told his bosses immediately. You know what I mean? Not to just to get in front of it, but just to handle it or whatever, man. So
right,
it's bad
because kind of the same thing that happened with Michael Vick. You know, I'm pretty sure Vince and his people, they got their own security and they little investigative people. So, you know what I'm saying? He probably could have got things moved along a little bit quicker if he would have gotten them involved, especially if he, you know, was innocent or whatever. But, you know, definitely not a good move by Enzo. And basically that's the reason why he got fired. It wasn't really that he was getting, you know, that he has charges against him. It was just that he, you know, neglected to tell the company, you know, so they might have been able to work with him, protect him, take him off TV, you know, keep him suspended indefinitely until it blew over. But, and then, you know, the timing of it, of course, was the ultimate sin against them because it came down on Monday afternoon as they're preparing for the Raw 25. Apparently, you know, Vince just told him to get out, just, you know, leave the building. He didn't even have, you know, 2 minutes for him once it, you know, came down. And then, you know, I guess once, you know, he got a chance to think about it a little bit more and was like, well, if this has been going on for, you know, almost a year, and this is the first we're hearing about it when everybody else is hearing about it, Vince was, I guess, you know, final straw, you're out of here. So
just got to wash your hands of it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're in Vince's position, you guys just got to wash your hands of it immediately. You got to, you know what I'm saying? Just nip right. It in the bud.
Right. So, you know, so hopefully, you know, the, you know, justice system works out and, you know, whatever needs to come out will come out and, you know, the justice will prevail in this situation. In other news, Vince was busy again this week as he announced the return of the XFL in 2020. This will be a watered down version of the XFL, nothing like the XFL that we all remember and grew up with in 2099. Players with any criminal record will not be allowed to play in the league. Everyone must stand for the national anthem, and players will not be given any forum to, you know, do any platform or, you know, have any social justice or social causes a part of their football league. So basically, you know, make America a great football league.
That's exactly what I was about to call it. I was like, y'all know what this is, right? This is the MAGA football league is what this is.
So anybody just thoughts on it? Just y'all, anybody wants to jump in?
But like, are they going to be body slamming people? Because then I might watch anyway.
I doubt it.
Oh, yo, I'm not watching. You know, you got to give me entertainment. If you're going to be racist, you got to be racist and entertaining. You can't be like, you're going to stand for this. What is it? What is it?
The anthem.
I was going to call it the monument. I knew that was wrong, but I couldn't think of the anthem. Be like, you're going to stand for this anthem and you're going to like it.
I just think it's a trip, man, that, you know, Jey Uso, you know, got arrested for a DUI, right? But he's wrestling at the Rumble on Sunday. But Johnny Manziel can't play football for you because he got a DUI.
I just think it's funny how Vince was like, I know you get tired of watching a 3.5-hour football game. And the whole internet was like, bitch, what do you think Raw is? Like,
right.
three whole long hours.
I'm into it for the shenanigans because I know chaos is imminent. You know what I'm saying? And I like to, I'm one of those people that like to watch the world burn in a sense.
Yeah.
So at least I want to see what the chaos is going to be at first before I peace out on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I know it's gonna be something crazy happening.
That's what I said on Twitter. I said Vince got bored, decided to set $100 million on fire, so he brought the XFL back.
But then I was looking on the internet, and they said actually, if certain things line up, it's like a tax shelter kind of thing. So he saves money.
Oh well, you know,
because rich people can scam into more money. They are very skilled at that.
Well, when the president
are they rich.
When the president calls you up and says, hey, man, you need to bring the XFL back and, you know, promote.
And make those niggers stand. That's what he said.
Right.
Allegedly. I don't need nobody calling the folk on me. Allegedly.
You know, so, you know, they got something underhanded working on, you know, where he can profit even if he don't profit as far as people watching going to the games. So.
True.
You know who they're going to trot out there as an ambassador for the football league?
Tim Tebow?
No, Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker. That sounds like an old black man. Who is that?
He is an old black man.
See, I knew it. You can't be young with a name like Herschel. You gotta be about 60 with a name like Herschel.
He's one of the best running backs in the history of the SEC. And Herschel. He also, when the USFL was around, he played for the team that Donald Trump owned.
Uh-huh.
And he's one of the few celebrity Trump supporters. Few black celebrity Trump supporters.
How embarrassing.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, he's 55, allegedly.
And he's about to fight MMA. It's crazy.
That's too much. Yeah. I don't feel like you can be anything under 70 with a name like Herschel.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those models they don't make anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he divorced his little white wife. That is a shame.
Yeah, that model has long been discontinued.
Oh, wow.
So, in January of 2020... everybody will be looking forward to the XFL. So now we'll talk about Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Womp.
Raw 25.
It could have been good. It could have been good. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But it could have been good. There were some good things that happened and some real odd things that happened. You know what I'm saying?
So we start off at the Manhattan Center, the original destination of Monday Night Raw with Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler. They've got the old school Raw siren going on. They've got the Ico Pro banner hanging up. They've got the old, you know, light up entrance, just like it was back in 1993, just in HD. So, you know, it looked great actually in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we to the Barclays Center. And there we have Shane and Stephanie. They come out and they thank the fans. They thank the wrestlers. And they thank all the behind-the-scenes people that have made Raw a success and helped them get to 25 years. Then we get a great Raw Greatest Moments video package. And then Stephanie says that they are just getting started, and she thanks Vince McMahon. So Vince struts and power walks down to the ring. He hugs Shane and Stephanie, and he gets a thank you, Vince, from the crowd. He doesn't like to pat himself on the back, but tonight he will. Vince goes to leave, but Shane and Stephanie have a gift for him. A plaque to celebrate Raw 25. Vince says it feels cheap. Stephanie says they tried to GoFundMe and they didn't get a lot. Now, first of all, millionaires know about GoFundMe.
Millionaires. But Sam said it right. That's why millionaires stay millionaires, because they don't use their money if they don't have to.
So Vince then starts to call Brooklyn cheap. Then he starts healing on the crowd for the cheap gift. And he says that he has one person to thank. That's himself. He says nobody helped him. He did it all on his own. And then the glass breaks. Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out, and the roof came off the place. And even though it was predictable, it still was what the people wanted. And oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Stephanie got the hell out of the ring real fast. because she was like there and then she wasn't. So Vince immediately starts to beg off because he doesn't want to catch what Stone Cold's got coming for him. He praises Steve Austin and he says that, you know, he's a member of AARP now. Things have changed. He's got a heart condition. He's got arthritis and he lives in a retirement community. He says, you know, Steve Austin, I'm a senior citizen. But Shane, he's in his prime. So Vince and Austin shake hands. Then Austin stuns Shane. Vince calls for beers. He wants to do a beer toast with Austin. They toast. Vince says Shane had to come in. And they go over, you know, to the, you know, four corners of the ring. When they go over where Shane is laid down, Vince pours his beer out on Shane. Like half his beer, he poured it out on him on purpose. That was funny. So they hug. Then all of a sudden, Austin turns Vince around, kicks him in the gut, gives him the stunner.
Then a gentle Shane, stunner.
Yes. Then Austin picks up Shane, gives him a beer, takes a swig with him, and then gives Shane another stunner. And then Stone Cold talks his trash, and everybody is like, yes, this is off to a rip-roaring start. This episode is about to be
Boy, boy, boy.
How wrong y'all were.
Okay,
things,
so.
Things you think you know.
Okay, so. Was it just y'all, or did y'all feel like y'all was like high school? Because this was my high school era, the attitude era. It's like, you know, senior.
Nah, the nostalgia pop was awesome. I was way into it. I kind of wish they'd have done the whole show at the Manhattan Center.
But that's money to be made, though, them seats.
Yeah, nah, I feel you.
But, talk about it afterwards. But yeah, they should have picked one place to do the show.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When did everything I heard always said Barclays? And then all of a sudden, Monday, oh, we're at the Manhattan Center. And it's like, well, why? And then when things got worse, it was just like, okay, but who did you think was at the Manhattan Center? Because I hadn't heard anything about the Manhattan Center. So I was, really, I know why they're there, and we'll get there. It has something to do with The Undertaker and how far he can walk. But it's fine.
So after that great segment, everybody's off to a great start, we get an eight women tag. We get Asuka, Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Mickie James versus Nia Jax, Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose, and Alicia Fox. Fox is still working over Sasha Banks. We get a big brawl on the floor. Sasha hits the bank statement on Alicia Fox, and Sasha, Asuka, Bayley, and Mickie James get the win. And then this is where the show went left because this match was too long.
Oh, it was 12 minutes. That is awfully long.
Commercials.
Man, you gotta fill up that time.
Yeah. So
I mean, I liked it, but it was definitely the beginning of the end.
Yeah. Now what happened after the match Asuka destroys everybody and throws them out of the ring on her team. Yeah, now that was worth it. But that was like 90 seconds. The other 11 minutes and a half.
I mean, the beginning was lit when Nia was like, I'm not waiting for no bell, I'm going for Asuka's ass. Immediately. Yeah, that was lit.
Yeah, that was.
And all of the in between, that's little.
And the Brooklyn crowd was really there for Nia too, because when she tagged in,
yeah,
they had a big cheer for her. So
they like their ethnics in Brooklyn. Yes.
So the coach is backstage and he's meeting with Kurt Angle. Then we get the parade of Harvey Whippleman, the Brooklyn Brawler, player, Teddy Long, Brother Love, and the Boogeyman all around. Course.
I got a question.
Yes.
I got a question. Are they really worms?
Yeah, I think they are. Yeah.
Oh God, yes, that's even worse.
Yes, Bruce Pritchard has confirmed that yes, those are real earthworms.
Where is PETA? Do they know about this? I'm gonna tell them about this. This is unacceptable.
Oh my God.
This is unacceptable.
Oh, now see. Little did we know that this was going to kind of be the theme of the evening. This kind of, I don't even know what you call this.
This carousel of nostalgia.
Yeah, this nostalgia buffet is what it is. So we get an Undertaker video package, and then we go to the Manhattan Center. The Undertaker arrives. He talks about taking souls and digging holes. For 25 years, he's taken down legends from Stone Cold, his own brother Kane. They've all tried to take him out and failed. And now on this day, he declares that for all those who have fallen, rest in peace.
Does he know he retired?
I don't know what that was for. I was just basically to make an appearance. The promo didn't say anything. Everybody in the dirt sheets, close your ears, DD, have heard that it's going to be Cena, John Cena, Undertaker at WrestleMania. But
oh, that is the fucking worst.
But they didn't do nothing to even drop a hint that this may be even be, you know, on the horizon. So you just had the Undertaker come out there with his new hip walk.
So can we pause this discussion about this questionable booking and talk about the Undertaker's hair for a minute?
Yeah,
yeah, go ahead.
Because man, I mean, look at them hair plugs, bro. What is going on?
Dog, Michelle McCool is a young woman, and he needs to keep up.
Dog, his hair looked like Amish sideburns on his head. It's crazy.
He's been bald before, though. I thought, like, well, I don't know why he won't just.
I mean, yeah, I know.
It's almost like when men don't voluntarily become bald, they have like a complex about it.
Yeah, when he had the Travis Bickle mohawk going. when he lost his streak, that was fine. But this what he doing now? Look crazy. This looks crazy.
Let me Google it. Undertaker hair plugs.
Yeah, his hair looked crazy long underneath that. He was wearing the hooded kind of like garb this time. It would have been cool if he would have came out with the original.
The original outfit. Yeah,
the purple gloves and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this is halfway I'm back to being Dead Man Taker and half Ministry Taker.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, but I know the Manhattan Center isn't. Well, I don't know. They did bring the lights down when Bray Wyatt came out later on. So I was going to say, I don't know if the Manhattan Center could handle such an entrance, but.
He can't see in the dark. He can't fall and then fuck up his new head. The light got to be. Yeah, it got to be low, not off, just low. I can't find his hair plugs. I feel very cheated.
You might have to do a Google, a Twitter search, I mean, for that one. I'm sure Twitter has something.
Y'all shady on the Twitters. I'll do that then. Mm-hmm.
So we head, after the commercial break, we head to the APA Protection Agency, where they're playing poker with Slater and Rhino. DD's first crush in the world.
Who?
And slaps a big wad of cash on the floor, and the $1 million man wants into the game.
It's that laugh. That laugh is just, oh my gosh.
Let's see.
It's so amazing.
Like, okay, so right now they're probably 2 for 1. So they got Stone Cold thing right. They fell a little short on the little, you know, parade of Harvey Whippleman, Brooklyn Brawler, Boogeyman, Telly Long. And then this one right here is pretty good. $1 million man. So 2 for 1 right now. Then this is where we start going down here. We get Big John. People Power, William Regal, Eric Bischoff,
all
announced to the live crowd. And then they bring out Daniel Bryan to just kind of like, I guess, celebrate past Raw and Raw GMs. So they didn't have the computer. If you're going to have the GMs out there, you needed the computer. And you needed Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And you got Eric Bischoff, you got Vince, and you got Paul Heyman all in the same building at the same time. You couldn't have like a nostalgia thing pop up where like they're all back there talking together and somebody from WCW walks in, somebody from old WWF walks in, and then somebody from old ECW walks in, and they just kind of have like a weird moment or something. Like, they could have done
you could have Rhino show up back there, Booker T. Or that would have been a good place for Jericho to show up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He would have represented all three of them. He could have came in and looked at all three of them, like, and, you know, did something funny, you know, just like Jericho does.
Yeah, put them all on the damn list.
Yeah, yo, that would have. How crazy would that have been? That would have been crazy.
Right, but nope. All they did was come out
and wave.
Too much light, right?
So the Miz comes out. And him and Daniel Bryan reunited, so you know what that means. They just have this real heat stare down. And the Miz laughs in his face and makes his way to the ring. So we have Roman Reigns versus the Miz, Intercontinental title match. Roman counters the skull crushing finale and lays in elbows. Roman misses a charge, hitting the exposed turnbuckle, and Miz hits the skull crushing finale for the win. And the new Intercontinental champion is the Miz.
Eight time. Pay time.
He'll tap.
That was lit too. That was still okay.
Right.
More than okay, actually.
Right. Roman, they still don't fuck with Roman and Brooklyn without Seth and Dean by his side.
That's real fucked up that he needs his white friends to be accepted in Brooklyn.
Gentrification is a motherfucker, ain't it?
It's like that. It's real rude.
Yeah, you been to Williamsburg lately?
I haven't. When I went to New York, I stayed in Harlem. Like the good black that I am.
So, we go back to the card game and MVP. The Usos and Jeff Hardy have joined the poker game now.
I didn't know who that was. I was like, is he Latin?
That's Montel Vontavious Porter.
And then I was like, I think that's who that is, but who is that? He still looks really good.
Oh, yeah.
Creepcast.
Christian is here.
Yes, he was.
Unfortunately, Edge had scheduling conflicts and could not make it.
What did he schedule?
I don't know. I think he might be shooting
some real money for somewhere.
he might be shooting his TV show might have started back again.
Nobody who mattered was there. Where was Carlito? Man. Damn it.
Probably getting ready to film season 2 of Glow.
Listen, getting ready. It's only a day. He could have been there spinning apples at these people. Oh my God.
Well, there's the 1,000th episode of SmackDown and the 20th year SmackDown coming up, so maybe they can get him on that.
20 years of SmackDown?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm old. Okay, so The Rock has to be at mine because he's the one who created SmackDown.
That's what I'm thinking.
So, he needs to get it together.
So, Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins are his guests on The Peep Show. Christian seems just, you know, happy to see Seth Rollins, considering that, you know, that last time they were together in the ring, you know, he almost tried to paralyze them, him and Edge both. But, you know, that's a few years ago. Nobody remembers that but us. So, Jason Jordan grabs the mic, cuts off Rollins, and talk about heat. Jason Jordan, he got it. Jason Jordan praises his dad. He asks the fans to give Kurt a round of applause, but they ain't feeling it. So, the bar arrives. They run down Jason Jordan, say all the legends are here to see them. They plan to win back the titles on Sunday until Jason Jordan, he sucks. This leads to a brawl. Rollins clears the ring and hits a suicide dive. They get back in and Rollins accidentally wipes out Jason Jordan as Cesaro bails to the outside. My man Jason Jordan was like, don't worry about this, Seth. I got this. He was handling his business. Y'all should have some respect for Jason Jordan. Y'all know he won the Raw Tag Team Championship on his first time as a tag team, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Iconic.
So Charlie interviews Alexa Bliss. They discuss the Women's Rumble, and Bliss says that she will be champion at Mania and a goddess to boot. Then Charlotte Flair arrives and says that Bliss is only champion because she is on SmackDown. Charlotte then brings in the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, and he says that Charlotte will be the champion until she decides not to be. Now, Dee Dee, I know that you are of the vertically challenged ones among us.
Yeah.
How come they didn't get that girl no apple box to stand on?
Listen, this is what you don't do as a short girl. You don't stand directly beside somebody who's a foot taller than you with no, like, no heels, no apple box. Like, and then I think they, like, pointed the camera to make it even look, like, worse. Because there are ways to cheat a height difference. And they used none of them. They used none of them. And I'm like, this is like some David and Goliath bullshit. Like... But I thought I was supposed to root for David, and I'm not going to do that.
She looked like Andre the Giant standing
there. She looked like her mother. She looked like,
at my little baby.
You remember Powerpuff Girls when Sarah Bellum would be around, and you never saw the top of her head because she was so tall in comparison to the mayor? It's very bad. Like, she's little. Somebody on Twitter was like, I don't know if Charlotte's taller or if Alexa's little, and it's like, it's both. Like, it's all that together because they don't ever be doing Sasha like that. Sasha ain't tall.
Right. Wally, let's talk about that. This blue pinstripe suit the Nature Boy had on. That thing was pretty sharp.
Yeah, man. You know, he stayed, you know, he's clean. You know what I mean?
You gotta be from the Midwest. You gotta be like, he real sharp. That's real sharp.
So we go back to the poker game. More people have joined the poker game. And there's one theme throughout all of these clips Heath Slater keeps losing his money, y'all. Rent money gone. Grocery money gone. Pamper money gone. But, you know, he's trying to win his money back, so they keep playing. So then we switch back to the Manhattan Center, where we get Bray Wyatt versus Matt Hardy. Matt hits a side effect, and that gets a two count. Bray Wyatt hits a twist of fate. Counters the twist of fate and hits the Sister Abigail, and he gets the win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at this point in the Manhattan Center, we've had probably about almost 2 hours worth of Raw programming, and they've only seen The Undertaker, the opening of the show, and Bray Wyatt versus Matt Hardy. And then during the commercial breaks, they got some intersplicings of some 205 Live, like, taped the matches on the screen.
What did you think was going to be there?
And apparently, like, these tickets were, like, more than...
They were expensive, yeah.
$100. Yeah. Yeah.
Why? What did they think was going to be there?
I don't know.
Who were they told was there?
One of my rapper friends was there, and he was like, yo, this is bogus. You know what I'm saying? He was actually at the Manhattan Center, and he was like, yeah, it's you know, there's literally nothing going on.
I want to know what the advertisement said. Like, because, you know, like, when they say, oh, they're coming to Capital One, it'll be this person, this versus that person, whoever. Like, who did they tell them was going to be there?
I think it was just a draw of Raw being in the Manhattan Center. They didn't have to tell them, because they're wrestling people, they didn't have to tell me anything.
Listen, y'all going to get enough of listening to people who are friends with Trump. Scam City.
There you go.
And I love the WWE, but come on now. They're good for a scam.
So back at the Barclays Center, this is where the show really started to take a bad turn, because this is, I think, what people were looking forward to the most, and it was just a dud. They bring out the legends of the women's / diva division. The first ones we get are Dee Dee's faves, the Bella Twins.
Hoopst.
We almost lost her.
Listen, Bree still got that baby weight on her, though. She looked cute.
Then we get Maryse, speaking of baby weight.
Pregnant as hell. Man,
super pregnant. You know what I'm saying? Out there.
Then we get Kelly.
Man, what? You know
what I'm saying? They just got any old body. They were like, well, she's on TV. She'll do.
What's she on TV doing now?
She's on WAGS.
She's on WAGS, right?
Yeah. I don't know what that is. What is WAGS?
It's a British term for wives and girlfriends of, like, sports people. So her boyfriend or her husband must be in somebody's sport.
Yeah, Brandy and Cody Rhodes are on there, too.
Yeah, but that's WAGS Atlanta. She was on a different one. I think. I don't watch it. I'm nosy, so I keep up with things.
Sam's fave, Lillian Garcia.
I cracked up. And immediately he had a horse reference for her.
Of course he did.
Took no time at all. It looked like it was in dress ready. Like,
yeah, you know it. We had Miss Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
We had Tori Wilson. We had Michelle McCool.
Yeah.
Terry Reynolds.
Yeah. I was happy to see her, actually.
Maria Kanellis.
Also pregnant as hell.
Yes. And the Goat. Trish Stratus.
Hey.
With the blonde streaks in her head. She had to bring the blonde back.
Yes.
And all they did was come wave. And wave.
Wave. All they did was wave.
Now, you know, we have the Women's Royal Rumble, the first one ever, coming up this weekend. You got, Trish Stratus. You got Tori Wilson. You got Miss Jackie. You know, some people who got some, legitimate wrestling credentials. At least Jackie.
I got a question.
Yes?
Why Sable act like she can't come back?
Somebody got to watch the kids, I guess.
Listen, he got all the money. They can hire a nanny, or his mama can watch them for one night, and she can act like she gives a damn about it. She must hate the WWE. She don't ever come back.
Yeah, and you can't really talk about Divas / Women's Division and Raw without Sable.
Right. Like, she was with the handprint paint job bikini. Like, that was a definitive moment.
Mm-hmm. And Lita, too. But, you know.
Yeah, but we see her. So she's not special, you know. She's not even special.
You know what, what sucks is all the cool stuff that they should have put on Raw is on WWE.com. Like, they do this. where Bailey like is in the back, and all of a sudden she walks up behind Trish, and she's just like, it's just like awestruck, taps on the shoulder. She turns around, and she's just like, "Oh my god, you're Trish Stratus."
That's so interesting to me, because that means they knew enough to do it, but they didn't know enough to put it on the TV. Like, that's so crazy,
right? Right, people are like, Stone Cold didn't kill the microphone. But if you go to WWE.com, he does a whole like interview with Mike Rome where he's like, you know, talking about stunning Vince and talking about Mike Rome. You're like, I come all the way out here from California and you only got one question? he starts running him down. It's really funny. So like all the good stuff is on WWE.com and didn't show up on Raw. But yeah, this is where a lot of people were really disappointed.
Which would make sense if it was SmackDown. But it's 3 hours of Raw.
Right.
So, one
of the good segments is Elias.
Yes.
Is walking in the back.
God bless Elias. God bless him.
He runs into Chris Jericho.
Jericho
mocks Elias for, wearing some scarves and says that he wrote a song for him. He asks Elias if he can borrow his guitar. Elias says no. And Jericho says, oh, no problem. Brought my own. And so he sings a song for Elias, calls him a stupid idiot, and tells him he made the list.
But what I love is even the heels don't really want to be on the list.
Nobody wants to be on the list, yo.
Like, they look so put out when they get on the list. Like, oh, really? It's so funny.
Yeah, I think it was cool that he was full on New Japan Jericho too when he showed up.
You know
what I'm saying? Had the Alpha Club shirt on, even though he was hiding it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that was cool.
Man, Jericho is like, he's in the, you know, that back nine of his career, and he's just doing whatever the fuck he wants, and he don't care. You know, what he does on TV, as long as he's on TV, he makes you talk about him. And it's all positive. So, good for him. So, Elias comes into the arena. He plays the tune. He says it took WWE 25 years to find him. And they finally got it right. He does not sing it, but says that the legends need to hear his song. He points out Jimmy Fallon in the crowd and plans to show him how it's done. Elias runs down various legends like HBK, Jericho, The Rock, and Austin. DD's fave, John Cena arrives. Crowd has their own song for him.
In Dayglow, the asshole.
Of course, we get the John Cena sucks. We get the asshole chance as Cena puts over 25 years in Raw. Elias tells him, shut up, because no one wants to hear Cena. Cena dares Elias to do something about it. Elias says, that's not how it works, because he doesn't take orders from John Cena. Elias fails as he tries to sneak attack Cena. And Cena runs through the five moves of doom. But Elias loves Cena when he goes for the AA.
Hey.
He gets the guitar. He lays Cena out with it. And then Elias hits Cena with the drift away. And
it was so great. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, this is the makeup from the Christmas Day interaction between these two.
Yes. Highlights. Did that.
Back to the poker game. And everybody goes all in. And of course, they catch Heath Slater cheating because he has like a royal flush or something. JBL yells at everyone, and it turns out that the $1 million man, Ted DiBiase, and all the money, and then Ron Simmons goes, damn!
with all the Warner Robins of Georgia coming out. All of it.
So, just like in real life, the person who don't need it wins a jackpot.
Well, you know, I love Ted DiBiase, but listen, why his son wasn't there? Don't nobody care about Junior, huh?
Well, if they can't have Shelton Benjamin there, then there's no need to have Junior there.
But Junior's Junior.
But he gotta have Shelton, though. World's greatest tag team.
But Junior.
I know, Charlie Haas, and then when he got with Junior, that was the time then. But we get Mark Henry. He's walking down the aisle.
Where was D'Lo fucking Brown?
Somebody's got to run the club.
Oh, my God. They ruin everything. Go ahead.
Yeah, that, I would have loved to see a D'Lo head bob.
With that head shake? What?
Could have had a Nation and Domination reunion.
Oh, Lord. Ugh. Don't threaten me with a good time.
So Mark Henry meets the Godfather right into the hall, and the lady with the Godfather turns out to be his wife. He says that, you know, he's giving up the game. And you know, it's very interesting that Mark Henry's kind of giving up the game too, because he announced his retirement. So they both retire from both their games. So
park the whole train, man.
Yeah, I mean, Olivia was beautiful. So if you're gonna stop the whole train for anybody.
Yes. And ran out of steam. So
he made a good choice.
So now we get Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews versus Heath Slater and Rhino. Crews hits a dropkick and then delayed suplex. Everyone's brawling and the ref calls the match off because everybody's kicking too much ass. Then all of a sudden, the Dudley Boys arrive. Slater gets tossed into the ring. He eats the, we would know it as the what's up headbutt, but that was a good ad lib by Corey Graves called Dilly Dilly. They get the table. Slater eats the 3D through the table. And then after the match, Rhino, Titus, Apollo Crews all celebrate with the Dudley Boys.
It be your own people.
Right.
Charlie Devon, like, can't hit the weight room since he retired.
Man, he's a
great workout no more.
Yeah, he's a real agent. All he does is eat and tell people what to do. Charlie interviews AJ Styles, but AJ says that he wants to bring his own special interviewer for this segment. He brings in none other than Mean Gene Okerlund.
Hey!
Then AJ goes into a, let me tell you something, Mean Gene. And then he runs down Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn using that horrible name, Cammy. And they basically just promises to retain the WWE title at the World.
Cammy! It's so easy. Why didn't I think of that?
It's not good. That's why you didn't think of it.
Cammy.
It's not good.
But it's like a real name. I know people named Cammy. I don't know people named Cammy.
I know someone named Cammy. That's exactly like that.
That is so adorable, Cammy. Aww!
That's why it doesn't work as a wrestling insult, because it's adorable.
Yeah, it is very adorable. It's so adorable. Savin is better because it's like a little closer to Savage. Savin.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So back to the back to the Manhattan Center, where we have a Triple H and HBK. They arrive. DX is here. They talk about the old times. HBK keeps trying to tell stories, but Triple H says they can't tell those stories these days. HBK says he used to be the boss around here, but now Triple H is the boss of everything. HBK, of course, sells the network. And he thinks, and now Triple H gets the mic and thanks the fans. They bring up the old days, name dropping Rick Rude in China and the beginning days of the year. Triple H then does the Are You Ready? And the New Age Outlaws arrive. Road Dogg does the old intro and then he introduces X-Pac. X-Pac then brings out Scott Hall to join the celebration. Scott Hall says the show has been too sweet, and then that brings out the Ballet Club. They get in the ring, and then they all too sweet each other, and then we get the entrance of The Revival. So this was
their music playoff. Is awful.
The Revival?
Yes. It is. Terrible.
That harmonica is like wild off key.
It's, it's like country hip hop, and it's like, nah, that don't work.
Sound like some Cowboy Troy or something.
So this was the big deal for the Manhattan Center. They got to see DX and basically the Bullet Club, you know, do the passing of the torch, I guess. Too bad Kevin Nash wasn't there, though, because he...
I know! They're missing everybody that mattered.
Yes, with the whole too sweet hand gesture. He's the one who actually needs to pass it on. I guess Scott Hall can, but Kevin Nash really created it. So we get the Good Brothers versus the Revival.
I'm all right with not seeing Kevin Nash for me.
Okay.
It's just me, you know.
The Revival attack before the bell, and then they attack Anderson, and they take the advantage. Gallows finally gets attacked. The Good Brothers hit the Magic Killer, and they get the win. After the match, the Revival eat the finisher buffet, including the pedigree, the super kick. Finn Balor finishes them off with the double foot stomp, and Billy Gunn says, if you're not down with that, we got two words for you. And the crowd finished it off with suck it. So we go back to the Barclays Center, and Angle is out with the APA and various legends and mid-carders and jobbers, and they're all surrounding the ring. Angle brings out Braun Strowman, then he brings out Kane, and Brock Heyman comes out Heyman comes out to introduce Brock. So Brock, Kane, and Strowman, they all brawl. Brock hits Kane with an F5. Strowman sends Brock to the floor, then slams Brock to the barricade. Strowman then power slams Brock through the announce table, and this is the end of Monday Night Raw. anticlimactic end because the table didn't really cooperate like it was supposed to. And it's not like we haven't seen this, like, you know, compared to, you know, we saw the week before with Braun turning over a, you know, semi truck. It's kind of not that fantastic. So,
but yeah, it was everything.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no. I was standing over Braun. He's so brawny. What can I say?
Yeah. So that was the Raw 25th. Anniversary episode. A lot of people, you know, like we've commented before, felt that this show just had so many expectations and they just totally missed the mark.
It had a lot of potential and did nothing with most of it.
No, it did not live up to the potential at all.
Here's my theory. Either they didn't have like a special allotted time to like make this, like we got like four people over here that all they're doing is writing for Raw 25. We got, these are our people that we're going to have, and we're going to let these people write for it. They didn't do that, obviously. So they basically probably had to do Raw in their same old formula. And B, the people who are doing the writing clearly weren't watching wrestling in the Attitude Era.
No. Oh, yeah, correct.
Because they would have known to interact. I think that's what people wanted. They wanted more interaction between.
They want
to
see you. That's why Stone Cold got the pop that he got. Not just because he was there, which is great, but he was there in the ring, giving people stunners. Oh, I'm sorry. I had a feedback thing. Giving people stunners, drinking beer, doing all those things that Stone Cold does. And it's like, there's a difference between that and Christian with his peep show. And then just having a whole bunch of people stand on the stage. Like, right. It's not satisfying when all you get is like, oh, they were here. Like, you can show them a picture. Like,
yeah, you get the video package.
Right. Like, first of all, everybody likes a highlight reel. So if all you're going to do is have them come to the stage, you might as well have taken that time to just splice together a really nice highlight reel instead of just wasting everybody's time. It's my thought.
All right. Wally, your thoughts on what could have been better and where they fell short?
Man, I like I said earlier, I think they should have had it all in one place. Like, choose a place. You know what I'm saying? Or another thing, I think they could have done, like when they were going to do like the some of the backstage segments or whatever, they could have done those at the Manhattan Center instead of doing them at Barclays. Maybe, you know, especially when you're doing like people like Harvey Whippleman or whatever. I associate him more with early '90s WWE than I do like Attitude Era stuff, and I don't think that translated well over on the screen. Like, Coach, I get, and Teddy Long, I get. You know what I'm saying? But the Brooklyn Brawler and Harvey Whippleman, it's like sometimes I know you're going for a nostalgia pop, but sometimes you're just doing stuff because those are the people that are here. I feel like there was, maybe they had plans to use other people in other ways, and just, you know, they weren't able to. Like, we were discussing Edge not being able to be there. There's so much other stuff you could have done than what they were doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, man. The whole thing with the women, that was whack. The matches seemed hurried and rushed, except for the IC Championship match. That seemed like that was a real match. But even the Matt Hardy and Bray, it seemed like even though they're in the middle of a feud, that match just seemed to be thrown together just to kill time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man. It's just, I was hoping for more and just didn't get what I was looking for.
All right. So that's the final diagnosis analysis of Raw 25. Thanks for everybody who came out to hashtag Rawcast 25. There's a lot of fun, a lot of new faces and people, you know, the nostalgia did bring a lot of people out. So, you know, a lot of people got introduced to the live tweet for the first time. So hopefully we made some new fans and, you know, you guys will stick around. So Didi Jonet,
yes,
to you for your SmackDown Matters report.
Yes. So SmackDown this week was actually in DC and I feel awful for not going, but the way that my account is set up and the way that my flight was set up, I couldn't go. But had I thought about it, I would have stalked the city for Sami Zayn. Anyway, but it truly just lit my mind. I was very disappointed in myself. He was at the Smithsonian. We love the Smithsonian. But anyway, Kevin and Sammy come out. They call themselves the future of WWE. They announce themselves as future co-WWE champions. Blah, 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 blah. He says AJ stands no chance on Sunday. Zayn says after they win, they're going to hurt AJ. The crowd is chanting, yep. AJ interrupts to a reaction from the crowd. AJ is still calling them Cammy. In reference to the idea that they would become champions and beat him up, he says, nope. Sammy says they will win, and Styles will hear, yep, everywhere, in his dreams, from the fans, from his family. AJ says they will never become champions as long as he has spite left in his body. All of this is what essentially foreshadowing, blah, blah, blah. So we go on. Backstage, Shane questions Daniel's decision to put AJ in some matches separately on the same night tonight. And Daniel tells him, don't worry, he's not worried about AJ, blah, 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 yada, yada. Questions, whatever, doesn't matter. First match of the night, Chad versus Jey Uso. Jimmy and Shelton are ringside. Blah, blah, blah. Jey makes a comeback after a break. Then he has a suicide dive and a Samoan drop. Chad responds with a rolling kick and an O'Connor roll German suplex. That's a lot of words together that I've never seen before. But he does that and it turns into a win. So good for Chad.
Let me give you a shorter version of that.
Thank you.
Just call it Chaos Theory.
Oh, I like that name. Backstage, Renee Young asks Shinsuke Nakamura how he plans on winning the Royal Rumble. He says, I see someone, I put my knee in their face. I see someone else, knee to the face. Next person, knee, face, knee, face. It seems like a good plan to me. I don't see the issue.
Somebody might want to explain the rules to him, though.
I mean,
we got to toss somebody out.
I mean, but depending on the way the knee goes, he might fall out of the ring. No, probably not. Listen, it could work. Don't doubt him. He looks like he's explored the physics of this. He's interrupted by Baron Corbin, who claims he's all hype. He says his resume speaks volumes, unlike Nakamura's. Nakamura says he's going to win the Rumble, and he will challenge Corbin to a match tonight. There's a selfie promo from Ty Dillinger announcing himself in the Royal Rumble match. Excuse me. Next, Naomi versus Liv Morgan. Oh, Donald, can you take over? I'm sorry.
I got you. Naomi versus Liv Morgan. Liv grounds the action as Natalya, Carmella, and Lana make their way to ringside. Becky is also out as Naomi makes the ropes. Naomi fires back with the kick, and she hits the sunset flip, and Naomi gets the win. After the match, we get the big post-match brawl with bodies being tossed under the top rope. And she rhymes, and she says that she loves this and wishes them all luck this Sunday.
Thank you so much. I told y'all I'm still sick, so I'm having a little bit of a moment. Next is Shinsuke versus Baron Corbin. Nakamura is all over Baron. He goes for the Kinshasa, but Corbin reverses into a deep six for a near fall. He follows with a big clothesline for another near fall. Nakamura then counters an end of days into an armbar, but Corbin manages to slip out. Nakamura sets up for the Kinshasa again when out of nowhere, Randy Orton flies in and nails him with an RKO for the DQ or the no contest, depending on how you want to think about it. Corbin tries to attack Randy, but he gets an RKO for his troubles. It was fun. The crowd liked it, and I hate Randy, but it was kind of like, oh, well, all right. So.
Yeah, it was definitely, that one was out of nowhere because, you know, you're all.
Legit, yeah.
Oh, man, Kinshasa about to go upside Corbin's head, and then it's like, where the hell he come from? Somebody ask him to interrupt this match?
I know. But, you know, sometimes when it's really, truly out of nowhere, it is more fun that way. If you've seen the little promo videos for the 25th anniversary, they make a lot out of, what's his name, Evan Bourne?
Right.
And his, what was it? A 450?
I don't know. 450, yeah.
Look at him knowing things.
Shooting,
yes.
Shooting Star Press was his move.
Shooting Star Press. And Randy hit the RKO on him truly out of nowhere. Right. So, like, when it lives up to the out of nowhere call, it's really impressive. But anyway, next is Bobby Roode versus most of the New Day, Kofi and Xavier. versus Gender, Rusev, and Aiden English. As New Day are making their entrance, Byron, the weirdo, says, "My soul has just been invaded by unimaginable joy." So the New Day announced that they are entering the Rumble match. They put over Bobby Roode. As Roode is entering, Xavier is singing along to the theme. He thanks them for the introduction, says he's happy to debut as U.S. champion here in the capital of the United States. So he says he wants to be the greatest U.S. champion ever, which he knows won't be easy. Roode is about to call his title reign what we all know it is. But they say, "Oh, is it going to be stupendous, delicious, exuberant?" He's like, "No, it'll be glorious." And in the background, you see the New Day shaking them hips, twerking only as they do. It's quite nice.
Them singing the song like a choir.
Into it. Like,
we did. I was like, this is great.
Like, so, like, yes. I was like, yes, stand for the music. Yes. Because he deserves. So after Bobby gives Aiden a spine buster and Woods finishes him off with a springboard elbow drop, glorious New Day wins.
You want me to take this one for you?
No, I got it. I got it. So far. All right. I'll let you know if you hear me go silent again. Okay, so non-title match. AJ versus Kevin's. Sammy comes out, but Shane comes out and is like, no. You can't be at ringside. And if you do come to ringside, you're going to be fired on the spot. Same goes for Kevin later. So they're sad. They go to commercial. They come back. Kevin lands awkwardly into the turnbuckle on a cannonball attempt. Seems like it injures his leg. So then AJ applies the calf crusher. Owens quickly taps. He doesn't release after the bell, and so Zayn has to run in to break up the hold. The referees try to stop Sammy, but he continues to put a beating on AJ, tosses him into the steel steps because Sammy is the kind of best friend everybody needs. Backstage, Shane and Daniel Bryan are standing and watching. So they're just kind of looking. So then they start. After the break, they check with AJ to see if he's ready to start the match. Owens is still ringside. He can't stand. Sammy works over AJ. He makes a comeback, which includes a springboard forearm to the outside. He's about to re-enter the ring, but he's like, "Fuck that," and attacks Kevin, who's still being tended to. Sammy flies in with a clothesline to stop him. There's a break. When they come back, Kevin is still at ringside, and he's still being tended to. There's a stretcher around, but I don't know if he's on it yet or not. Whatever. Sammy goes for the Haluva kick, but AJ counters with a boot of his own, followed by a Pele kick for a two count. Then Sammy hits a missionary driver for a two count. Then AJ avoids a superplex attempt, goes for a Styles Clash, but Sammy slips out of the ring. Now Kevin's on the stretcher. AJ tosses Sammy back into the ring and pushes over the stretcher, because fuck your feelings. After AJ goes into the ring, then Sammy hits the Haluva kick, and for the first time in the history of ever, he hits the Blue Thunder Bomb, pins a person, and gets the actual whole entire three count for the win. Sammy won with the Blue Thunder Bomb.
How about it?
Oh my God. I never thought I'd see the day.
I think a lot of people were kind of shocked, like, it's over?
Like, it's never over. It never works. Right. Like, I'm shocked. So as the show ends, Kevin and Sammy are posing over AJ. And that's how that ended.
I know you like the particular petty that AJ had towards Kevin.
Now listen, I do stand for Kevin, but when he pushed over that card, I was like, hell yeah. Because what I thought was, I thought one of them was going to, like, go off the top rope and hit him on the stretcher, either AJ on purpose or Sammy accidentally. So I knew something was going to happen with him in the stretcher. So when he was just like, well, fuck that, and pushed it over, I was like, my kind of petty. Like, fuck your stretcher.
Well, thank you for your SmackDown report, Ms.
DJ. Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for your assistance.
No problem. And we would like your assistance in helping keep the podcast free. Please go to CSPN.us. Click on the banner that says Keep the Podcast Free. Support the podcast by clicking on one of our sponsors like Blue Apron. You can sign up through CSPN.us and Blue Apron and get $30 off your first purchase. You can get fresh groceries delivered to your door to take out trips to the grocery store. And it can also help you eat healthier, as you know, all of these meals are low calorie, good meals, good balanced meals. So CSPN.us and Blue Apron, do it today. So we'll go to NXT, where we start off the show with the Velveteen Dream. He has a promo. He says that we all dream about becoming NXT champion. Johnny Gargano dreams of it. And Dream says that he is a star, but not now, because the other choice is the Velveteen Dream. Gargano is filled with doubt, and Gargano's dream will be over tonight. But what was really cool about this was, like, it shows him, he's got his back to the camera, and then he starts directing. So, like, all of a sudden, it just goes black, and he's like, ambiance, and then, like, purple comes up in the background, and he says something else, and then like smoke starts flying up, and then he says something else, and then like the light shines on him, and then he turns around and starts doing his promo. So yeah, that was really cool. We get No Way Jose versus Cesar Bononi. No Way Jose lands jabs and forearm strikes, and then he hits the power slam. No Way Jose hits the wind up punch, and Bonini is pinned. No Way Jose's first time he'd been back since the last takeover, actually. So this was his first match back, and he get the win over Cesar Bononi. Get a video package for Aleister Black versus Adam Cole at Philly Takeover. Then we get Mabu, Bianca Belair, Binky Belair, yes,
Lord.
Versus LaToya. Binky misses a charge. LaToya heads up to the second rope and leaps off. But LaToya gets cut off by Belair and her hair whip. Binky then hits the reverse powerbomb / alley-oop and gets the pin. I hope that she is one of the special entrants in the Royal Rumble this Sunday, Binky, that is, because she's strong and she can like press somebody over the top rope, and that would be impressive. So hopefully she gets into it. If y'all saw the NXT Women's Battle Royal, I think that happened in like October, then you could kind of see kind of what she can do. That was one of her showcase matches, but it's good to see Binky on TV, and y'all know she's my fave, so. Next up, we get Percy Watson. He interviews Shayna Baszler and Ember Moon. Ember calls Baszler a bully and says that she takes shortcuts and tries to injure people. Ember questions if Baszler can actually hang in the division. Shayna says it isn't about anyone else. It's only about Ember. Ember says that she's the champion for a reason, and Baszler won't come into her division and take shortcuts. Ember says she has responsibilities as champion, but Baszler doesn't understand that. Ember adds that Baszler won't win at TakeOver. Shayna says that Moon achieved her dreams, but the difference between them is Baszler doesn't care if anyone knows about her path. When Moon wakes up at TakeOver and sees Shayna walking away with the title, she will be walking away with Ember's dreams, and Baszler doesn't care about the NXT universe, but they'll just have to get used to her. So, Didi, you wouldn't have liked this at all. She was smirking. She was just kind of being very dismissive. My first thing was, damn, Ember might smack the shit out of her if she don't get that smirk off her face. We get the second part of the TM61 vignette. This was really good. They actually might need to start kind of doing more of this type of stuff on the main roster for some guys. They basically went back through their whole journey from getting signed at NXT and kind of what got them there, and then kind of their hardships being at NXT. Because one of the guys got his knee blown out and wrestled like 2 takeover matches on a bad knee, and then finally just got blown out, so they had to, you know, have the surgery and everything. It goes and going shows them going through that recovery and all that, and coming back as a tag team. It was a really good vignette, so good work by NXT. The Authors of Pain versus 2 local guys. The Authors of Pain attack at the bell, hitting the corner of Death Valley Drivers. The match is ruled a no contest. Then the Authors of Pain cut a promo on the Undisputed Era, promising to win the tag team titles back to TakeOver. Then they hit the Super Collider on the 2. Time for our main event. We got Johnny Gargano versus the Velveteen Dream for a shot at the NXT title at NXT TakeOver. The Velveteen Dream hits a Death Valley Driver off the second rope, and he covers for a 2 count. The Velveteen Dream heads up top. He pauses as he goes for his Purple Rainmaker elbow drop, and he goes instead of doing it with his right arm, he tries to do it with his left arm, and it fails him as his elbow drop eats the knees for Gargano. Gargano hits a super kick. Johnny follows that up with the Gargano escape in the Velveteen Dream tap. After the match, seeing Almas and Zelina Vega arrive, Almas and Gargano stand off, and then Almas tries to attack. Gargano fights him off at first, but Almas cuts him off and tosses him to the floor. Gargano fights back to the apron, hits an enziguri and the slingshot DDT. Gargano picks up the NXT title and stands tall as the crowd chants, "You deserve it." It was a very good main event. Velveteen Dream and Johnny Gargano had an excellent match. Velveteen Dream is one of these guys that actually get over even in matches that he loses. Just so athletic. He's got really good heel tactics, takes his time. Velveteen Dream and Bianca Belair could be next. They really could be next. Well, I know you watched this NXT. What'd you think about it?
I enjoyed the main event a lot. Is that like Dream is like so deep into his character, you know what I'm saying? That like everything he's doing right now is working like a charm. As you know, is and you know what's crazy is I can still see room for improvement, but but even now, even at the state he's in now, he's still like you can see that he's like head and shoulders above a whole lot of other people, and why they're buying into him or putting time into him the way they are now.
Right,
so he could be like a generational talent. You know what I'm saying?
Right. When I see Binky, same thing I saw when I saw Sasha Banks. I see that confidence. I see that she knows exactly what her character is or who her character is, and the only thing that she's just got to get better at is just her timing in the ring. But everything else that comes with like being a star, carrying yourself, having that charisma, oh yeah, she got that, no problem.
You think they should use her as a baby face, or you think
no. She got because she's so strong. She's so much stronger than all these other girls that it wouldn't be that impressive if she was a baby face at first. If she's like a real heel and she's like using her strength in negative ways, and then all of a sudden build her up, and then all of a sudden turn her. That'll start off. Because you know, it's easier to be a heel than it is to be a babyface. So let her do the easy thing first, get her what's natural first, and then you know, once she gets that down, you can always be a babyface like.
Yeah.
But
you got it though.
Yeah, man, she is just, man, she comes out swinging that ponytail, she comes out bopping, you know what I'm saying? She gets the EST, so good luck to them, man, and their careers. Hopefully they are, you know, really get to the main roster and they flourish. So, right. So this Saturday, we have an NXT TakeOver from Philly. Hashtag Ask TakeOver for the live tweet. This live tweet will start at 8 p.m., so please come share your pro wrestling commentary with the hosts and fans of the WrestleCast. So we have a match that was made right after this NXT, as when Velveteen Dream came through the curtain, he got into it with Cassius Ohno, because Cassius Ohno was the person he was supposed to wrestle in the tournament, but Johnny Gargano took Velveteen Dream's spot. Velveteen Dream got hurt, unfortunately. So they got into it, and so they're going to have a match at TakeOver, Cassius Ohno versus Velveteen Dream. We're going to have Aleister Black versus Adam Cole in an Extreme Rules match. We're going to have the NXT Tag Team Champions of Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly versus the Authors of Pain. We're going to have Shayna Baszler versus Ember Moon for the NXT Women's title. And we're going to have Cian Almas versus Johnny Gargano for the NXT Championship. So that's your TakeOver card. And as always, TakeOver should be fantastic. And I'm looking forward to that Aleister Black, Adam Cole, Extreme Rules match.
Yes. That should be good. That should be a great one.
Yeah, that should be real fun.
I'm actually looking forward to Velveteen and Ohno, because I think what Ohno is kind of positioned in NXT now is kind of how Chris Jericho was on the main roster, is the guy to test people with.
Right.
You know, and he'll lay down for somebody and put somebody over, especially somebody that's young, that's on the rise or whatever, and it's not going to hurt him any. You know what I'm saying? And I think he's kind of the guy that you can rely on to give a younger opponent who needs seasoning a really, really good match, you know, and make sure that he's working properly. And
right.
I'm more interested in watching that match to see how they work together than I am to whether who wins or loses.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So that's one of the matches. Once I saw that got made, I was like, that's interesting. I think that's probably one of the matches besides the main event that I'm really, really looking forward to.
So Didi Jonay, you have got to make sure that you watch this event on Saturday so you can check out Velveteen Dream.
What time?
8 o'clock.
On Saturday.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right, so now it's time for everybody's favorite game show. Who you got? Yeah, for the Royal Rumble.
Is that the same movie?
Listen, I can only do a little bit because they might sue me for infringement, copyright infringement. So yeah, that's all y'all get.
I know all about clear samples, but
the hashtag for the live tweet will be hashtag RumbleCast. So actually, it's the one that we've used 3 years in a row. So if you want to go back and kind of, you know, do a search and kind of, you know, see how last year's live tweet went, you know, what people were thinking about, you know, who they saw in the Royal Rumble and stuff. It's really cool to go back.
I know what happened last year.
Company was a year ago. What happened?
I didn't tune until 8 o'clock because you got me fucked up.
That's what happened
last year.
The pre-show will start at 5. The actual show will start at 7. So.
Mm-hmm. And I will be, and they're going to get me because they might put the Women's Royal Rumble on first. So I might actually have to look at 7, which pisses me off, but.
So you're gonna run down the matches and we're gonna play who you got and then see who knows the most about the Royal Rumble. So 2 out of 3 falls match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships as we have Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin versus so Miss Didi Jonet, who you got?
The Usos.
All right. Mr. DJ Wally Sparks, who you got?
I'm going with American Alpha 2.0.
All right. This is a tough one, man. I think I'm going for Gable and Benjamin as well.
Don't leave me out. I mean, you know why? Home.
That's, you know, because, you know, Jey Uso's little transgression here.
True. So, like, a punishment.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you need to take them belts off you for a little while, brother.
Well, that might make sense. But I said what I said, so I'll stick with it.
All right.
Chelsea.
Next.
You know I type slow. Hold on.
Sorry.
Go.
All right. Our Raw Tag Team Championship match, we have Sheamus and Cesaro versus Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan. Mr. DJ Wally Sparks, who you got?
I'm going to go with Black Kurt Angle Jr. and Kobe from Iowa is who I'm going with. You know what I'm saying? I think Jason Jordan's little gimmick where he's like, you know, all aloof or whatnot is starting to work for him. And I think he's earned himself a pay-per-view win with this.
All right. Miss Didi Jonet.
I also am going to go with Kurt Angle's Black Baby and Seth Rollins.
All right. We'll make it a clean sweep because I have CrossFit Jesus and Jason Jordan as well.
Hey, nice.
Next up, we have our WWE Championship handicap match as we have Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles. Miss Didi Jonet, who you got?
I don't actually think they're gonna do it, but I got Savvy.
All right.
Savin, whatever they're called. I can't think of their name.
Wally, who you got, man?
I have AJ Styles winning by virtue of DQ on Sammy and Kevin.
Okay. All right. So via shenanigans. And Don?
I'm going to have AJ Styles as well, just overcoming the odds.
Okay. We like a comeback story.
Then we have our WWE Universal Championship match as we have Kane versus Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar. DJ Wally Sparks, who you got?
Lesnar's going to win this. Yeah, I mean, I can't see Lesnar dropping the belt until Mania. So, I think Lesnar keeps the belt until Mania, and that's just how it's going to be.
All right. Miss Didi Jonet, your thoughts?
I have faith in Bronny. I don't know why, but that's where I pin my hopes.
All right. And I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar as well. I think that, you know, he's got one more good run in him, and this is probably be the last one before Mania, and we'll see where we get there. Next up, we have the 30 women Royal Rumble match. Now, we have 12 open spots, so basically we have 18 people that are in the match for sure, and then we're going to have 12 surprises. So we can do this the easy way or the hard way. We can do this by picking, we'll go this way, Nia, Asuka, not Charlotte won't be in it. Naya, Asuka, Sasha, and Becky. Those are the four choices we'll take. Like, those are the four favorites.
Okay.
And if you want to do a other, you can just say the field. If
none, okay.
If none of those are the choices that you like. So, Miss Didi Jonet, since this is the very first ever Women's Royal Rumble, who you got?
So, you said Naya, Asuka,
Sasha, and Becky.
Sasha. Oh, Bailey's not a favorite. I'm joking. I know. You know, she's mildly ethnic, so I feel the need to defend her every now and again. Yeah, sure. I'll go with either Naya or Asuka. Do I have to pick?
Yes, you need to make a single choice, maybe.
All right, or Asuka.
Okay, Asuka.
I don't really believe that, because if they were smart, they would just throw Asuka over. But, okay, sure, Asuka.
All right. DJ Welly Sparks?
So, my pick is Becky Lynch, but what? I think Asuka's going to win. I think Asuka should win. Pardon me, but I think.
But you're picking Becky.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Because Vince McMahon likes Irish people. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why Sheamus got hotshotted when he, and this would be a good story. It's a good way to jumpstart Becky Lynch, put her back into the mix. You know, put it in the main event scene. It's something that I would personally do not want to see. But I think Becky Lynch is going to win.
I'm going to go with Nia Jax.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that it's time for her to pursue the championship, and they should strike now while the fans are into it. They usually don't, because they'd like to wait like 18 months after the fans are into it to finally decide to make people champions. But hopefully they act sooner than that this time. And then our main event, the 30-man Royal Rumble match. We have 13 open slots available in the men's match. So we have 17 competitors already declared themselves in. Now, see, this one's going to be a little bit harder because the odds in Vegas have, like, Daniel Bryan are, like, the favorite. And it's like Daniel Bryan and Nakamura are, like, the two favorites.
Mm.
Yeah, so
I could see Nakamura.
Man, I would be so happy about that.
You know what? I'll go Nakamura. Sure.
Okay, that's who you get. Wally, who you got?
I'm gonna go Nakamura too, even just because I'm such a Nakamura mark. I don't think he's gonna win, but that's gonna be my pick.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna go with the big dog, Roman Reigns, to tie Stone Cold Steve Austin as the only man to win three Royal Rumbles.
I hope they wouldn't do that to that boy. That'd be so rude. Like, because the crowd would go ape shit.
The last time it was in Philly, he won.
Mm.
That's when The Rock came out and they booed him and
in front of his cousin, and then he got on Instagram or whatever. He was like, "You booed my cousin," but that's all right. Like, that's so embarrassing.
He was like, "It wasn't booing me; they was booing him."
Right. And he was right. That's what made it so bad. Let's pick that. All right. Okay. I want to do something bonus. Pick a number 1 through 30.
Okay. Just say it out loud. Or
yeah.
It
in my head? Nah, say it out loud.
Oh, my number is 15.
15. Wally?
4.
4. I'll pick 24. And so if that number entrant wins the Royal Rumble in either the women's or the men's, I'll give 3 bonus points.
Okay.
To make it fun.
Okay. Well, I'll be rooting for number 15 all night.
I thought you were going to make us guess who's going to come in.
Oh, no. I'm not good at that kind of stuff.
Who do y'all think the surprises are going to be?
Tommy Dreamer, for sure.
I can see that.
Maybe Neville will come back. No.
I think Jericho's going to show up.
Yeah, I would think so. Or, ooh, who's somebody who's not under contract, who can go wherever they want to go?
I don't know. I think Lita or Trish.
I hope Trish. I don't want to see Lita. Lita broke her neck. It's over. Whatever. Bye. Maybe Beth.
This weekend at all?
Who?
Ricochet. Think he's going to show up this weekend at all?
Oh, yes. I kind of did.
Oh, yeah, he might.
I kind of did.
I don't know, though, because, I mean, he's going to be on NXT, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, like, it'd be early, it'd be quick, but it'd be good.
Yeah.
So, you know.
He might get in there kind of early where there's not a lot of people in there, where he can fly around a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's the reason why this pay-per-view, everybody likes it so much, is why it's next to WrestleMania, probably the most popular pay-per-view. It's just for the, you never know. They always leave it, they have, I mean, 13 spots for the men. That's a lot of people.
That's like one-third, more than one-third. Math, yes. That's more than one-third. That's a secret. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. So, Ms. DeDijonay, at this time, I will open it up to you so you can do your thank you shout-out.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to New Orleans, because even though you had a water advisory and I had to brush my teeth with bottled water, I still had an amazing time. My brother got married. I have a new sister-in-law. Her sister is actually amazing. So, like, cool family. It's wonderful. Shout out to DayQuil. Shout out to Mucinex. Shout out to Red Wine. Only Do It. Shout out to Wally for being on tonight. Shout out to Don, as always. Shout out to the chairman. Shout out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. What else? Oh, shout out to my new boss. It seems like it's lit so far. Let's keep it going. Shout out to Greg and Sam. Everybody on the network. Shout out to the Boozy Broads. That ain't the name, but they know who I mean. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Mr. DJ Wally Sparks, your thank yous and shout outs, sir.
Well, thank you to y'all, the WrestleCast, for having me on again. I always enjoy my time here, talk wrestling. Shout out to Diamond Dallas Page for being in public earlier today. He's a cool guy. And shout out to everybody in Atlanta that have been coming out and support my events. I'm hoping to take some of these parties on the road. I want to come to D.C. So,
yay!
I always enjoy my time in D.C. So I think I can have some fun up there. And you know, just shout out to everybody that rocks with me, man. Yeah, that's about it. You know what I mean?
All right. Thank you, DJ Wally Sparks, for being our guest tonight. First and foremost, thank you to Ms. DeDijonay for returning safe and sound from New Orleans.
Being
our SmackDown Matters correspondent. Shout out to Sam. Shout out to Greg. Shout out to the chairman. Shout out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout out. Shout outs to everybody on the network. Like Dee Dee said, that would be the Bad and Boozy podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Check them out. Check off That Drink out. Check out Rock Solid Radio, our new additions.
Oh, shout out to the Gridiron Girls. My bad.
Yeah, as well as the Gridiron Guys, Know the Score, Comic Book Chronicles. Got to get everybody in there. Crown and Collar. Ratchet Ramblings, so everybody that's grinding on the network, man, shout out to y'all. Shout out to everybody who showed up, like I said, to the Rawcast and Rawcast 25 live tweet on Monday night, SmackDown Matters on Tuesday. New Japan wrestling fans, New Beginnings starts this Saturday night, early in the morning, a.k.a. Sunday morning, and also Sunday as well. So use the hashtag #CastAStrongStyle if you're watching any New Japan this weekend when you're live tweeting about that. Like we said, Say No to Pre-Shows starts at 5 p.m. on Sunday. We're going to have hashtag #CastTakeover Saturday night, 8 p.m., and hashtag #RumbleCast, 7 p.m., on Sunday night. So please, you know, find some time, join us for 1, 2, 3, or 4 of the live tweets. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of action this weekend, and we're going to be off to the road to WrestleMania after this Sunday. So Royal Rumble should be really exciting. Can't wait to see the surprises. And we'll be back next week to review it and tell you guys what we thought about it. So for my SmackDown Matters correspondent, Ms. DeDijonay, and our special guest, Mr. DJ Wally Sparks, I'm Don DeLaurente, and this has been the WrestleCast episode 169. Stay tuned to the party promo.
Raw's 25th anniversary, an amazing night. I can't think of any better way to kick off the show than with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now talk to me what it was like to be one more stunner beer bath on Vince McMahon.
Well, Vince McMahon went out there trying to complain that he didn't need anybody's help. Hell, he rode Stone Cold's ass, the whole Attitude Era. I was a big part of what happened here, and he knows that, and that's the bottom line. Him to go out there and accept some plaque from Dane Stephanie was complete BS. Stone Cold went out there, crashed a little party, rang it up with a couple of stunners, and that's the bottom line. It feels good to be here. Hell, I've been out in Los Angeles messing around for a couple of years. So when they gave me the call, hey, Steve, we're going to celebrate Raw 25 in New York at the Barclays Center in Berkeley. I said, yeah, I'm going to be there. So I showed up, I raised hell, gave us a couple of stunners, and it was a damn good time being here and talking to all the WWE superstars, the guys and girls that have fallen down the path that I set, from the guys that blazed the path before me. Just continues on. It feels like a big-ass family reunion here. I'm proud and happy to be a part of it. Go out there and open up a can of whoop-ass for this city to watch.
Thank you very much for your time, Stone Cold.
That's all you got to say to me is ask me one question. I give you one answer, then you're going to shake my hand. You flew me all the way out here. Now you're going to bring me backstage and treat me like a jabroni.
Boy, I mean...
Did you not do any more prep than that? You got one question. Okay, what's your name?
Mike.
Okay, Mike, you can ask Stone Cold a couple questions. You just did one question. You know who you're talking to. My name is Stone Cold Steve Austin. I actually drew money. I actually was the World Heavyweight Champion. I won 3 Royal Rumbles. And you bring me all the way out here to the East Coast, to Brooklyn. You got one sorry-ass question for me. You're a chump. You need to go back to your house, do your homework, because next time when Stone Cold Steve Austin shows up, I want a proper interview, proper camera time, proper mic time, hell, proper interview personnel. You got no business interviewing something like me, son. You're way out of your league. Go back and do your homework. I'm sure everybody back home is proud of you, but you're just a piece of trash in my eyes. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Thank you. It's been wonderful talking to you. That's BS. I hated talking to sorry SOB, and that's the bottom line, because I said so. I'll catch your ass down the road. Mike.
Seth, Jason, welcome to the Peep Show. It's good to have you guys here.
Oh, man. Peep Show, Brooklyn, what up? Thank you. Thank you. It's been, man, it has been.
I got this one, Seth. It's been amazing. Now, I know we're out here to talk about our upcoming title defense, but I want to take a moment to say it is a... All right, well, it is an honor to be out here in your presence. And in fact, to be in the presence of all the superstars and legends that we have here tonight. Actually, I actually wanted to say thank you for all of your continued support. Most of all, I just want to congratulate my dad, Kurt Angle, for assembling such an incredible collection of talent that is here tonight. Despite what all of you say, my dad really doesn't suck. In fact, if we could all just stand up, come on, give my dad a big round of applause, please.
Jordan, 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 you need to slow down, fella, because you got it all wrong. All those superstars and legends have been lining up all day to get photographs with us and get our autographs. Because as everybody knows, we don't just set the bar, we are the bar! And funny enough, Jordan, those same superstars and legends had the exact same sentiments. They fully expect us to reclaim our Raw Tag Team Championships this Sunday. And actually, as a matter of fact, they thanked us in advance for doing so. Because, see, it is not your dad who sucks. You suck. 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 You suck.
Ah, Jason,
Jordan's had enough. Seth Rollins is trying to talk him off the ledge, but Jason Jordan went right after the bar.
Uh-oh, Rollins feeling kind of crazy.
Suicide dive takes out Sheamus.
You got to back your partner. I don't blame Seth Rollins for that, but this kid needs to learn something.
I can't blame anyone. This is
and now Rollins, oh no. Rollins just wiped out his partner.
It was unintentional.
Well, normally it's Jason Jordan costing his team. Tonight, Seth Rollins made the mistake. And they better get on the same page before Sunday, guys.